How you doing, sir?
Alright.
Right.
So Juju?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good. What's your real name, Juju?
Julius.
Julius.
Hi, how are you? Alright, you guys are live.
Okay, well. Welcome everybody to Soldiers for Christ Global Community Church without reading. And we're about to get started with our Bible study. Everybody's here. Except for a few people, they're still talking. But we do have security now. Now, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right, we're going to have Ryan pray us in. And then we're going to get started on this very important Bible study. And because I got to let people know.
Is that the title?
No, nope, that's not the title. That's just a little something I got to write on the board because the Lord showed me something new.
Amen.
And I got to go. Amen. So pray us in. You.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Praise God. We're back, right?
Amen. Amen. We're back on YouTube, huh?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, some people miss us.
Let's pray. Father God, Elohim Yehovah.
Hallelujah.
We come before you in the name of and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We ask you, Lord, tonight to send forth your Holy Spirit from this message. Lord, tonight we pray for our pastor, our shepherd, your servant, Pastor Sandy. Lord, we ask that tonight, Lord, I pray that you would give him the mantle of Elijah. Father God, I pray that tonight your very word that was made flesh would be made manifest here tonight in the teaching that you have given to him.
Hallelujah.
Father God, tonight, Lord, we declare and we stand upon a platform that stands upon a rock that cannot be moved. We stand and declare a gospel that cannot be shaken. Lord, we come before you asking that your kingdom come tonight through this word. We praise you, God. Open our hearts and our minds to hear, to receive, and then to do everything that you would have us to do. Father, we bind every spirit, every principality that would come against your people and this message. Lord, tonight we surrender everything to you. We praise you. Speak through Pastor Sandy now. Bless us, Lord, with your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeshua HaMashiach. Please put on your mic. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Okay. So you guys have your notes?
Yeah.
It's very, I don't know if it's very clear to you guys, but like, I'm not with most people. I'm not really like looking forward to the next 4 or 5 years. I'm not looking to getting past 2022. I certainly 100% believe that we're in the year that the rapture is going to happen. And, it seems like God every week wants to give me new information to let me know you're on the right track. Don't get involved with other people and the way they're thinking. Because the truth of the matter is nobody cares if God has any plans. You know, everybody has plans and everybody has things they want to do and can't wait till next year. And nobody ever really asks, I wonder what God's plans are, you know? And but one of these days, God's plan is going to manifest, and then you'll find out that your plans really should have been second, you know, on the list. One thing we've done, and I'll say we, me and the Lord, him getting all of the credit, is to show people that the rapture is real, that it's, not just something someone made up in the 1600s, as some knuckleheads have stood on stages and tried to argue, or it's not some, you know, fantasy that the church has come up with because they're scared to go through tribulation. It is a biblical fact that is documented from Genesis to Revelation, and is documented in typologies, is documented in numerical values. It's just documented time after time after time again, so that people can know, wow, God has really planned this from Genesis. And if God has planned this from Genesis, this is something that's going to happen. I mean, the fact that there's a 7-year tribulation, I think at this church, if someone came to us and said the tribulation's 3.5 years, we would laugh, because we're like, there's so much evidence that there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. And if, you know, someone came and said, you know, I don't know what other things they say, but they're just kind of like foolish arguments, because people don't want to deal with the fact that God has plans as well. And God says, you know, that we're supposed to live out our lives and not be stop doing what we're doing, but we're supposed to live out our lives. But I live out my life with the understanding that God's plan is going to one day trump my plans. And so I want to be a part of what God's doing. I don't want to be caught up in me and my future and my this and my that. Someone sent me a thing today, their next 7-year plan. They said 2003, I'm going to be doing this. In 2004, I'm going to be doing that. In 2005, I'm going to be doing that. And it just reminded me of a scripture, that a parable that Christ gave, that he said, these two guys, they said, we'll go into such a town, we'll buy and sell, and we'll make money, and we'll do this, and we'll do that. And he said, shame on them that they never said, God will, if it's God's will, you know what I mean? So it's like, we just make plans. So like, nobody's asking, well, maybe God has a plan as well, right? So, I make no apologies, because if God calls you to do something, it's pretty solid. And I know that the end of my journey here is a cloud party. And so, being that I'm knowing and understanding, and since I was the one there when I got called, I wish we could have all been there. It was so cool. But since I'm the only one that really, that means, you know, I have the assurity of knowing what happened on that day, how God called me, what he told me. You know, the Lord told me, he said, you're going to be a teacher of your teachers. Like, you're going to be a better Bible study than all the people that you admire. And I couldn't see that being a reality, because I was studying, I was like trying to follow so many great teachers. And then the more God taught me Hebrew and taught me gematria and all this stuff, you get people that are asking me questions that I'm like, okay, I was looking up to you. I was buying your CDs, you know? And it's like God just did exactly what he said he was going to do. No credit to me. It's God's like, I'm going to put this inside of you. Is that on you? I feel it every now and then. But if it is, it's good. Okay. So, in this journey, I wanted to tell you guys, the first thing that happened in this journey of that the Lord has me on, and I want you to know it's a journey, okay? This is a journey for me to begin to do what God told me to do until we leave, okay? This is a journey for me. And when he first gave me this journey, God wanted me to know that he was counting time, and that 6,000 years was about up, okay? And when I finished doing the 6,000 year count, it was over with in 2017. So I was saying, wow, 2017 is the end of 6,000 years. So if 2017 is the end of 6,000 years, I'm like, okay, that means the rapture must be in 2010. And then that 7 years must be for the tribulation, right? So I'm in my heart thinking this has got to be true. And then one of the great Bible teachers, J.R. Church and Gary Stearman, they started preaching it too from the book of Psalms. And I want to show you this because as we go along in today's Bible study, you'll see why 2022 is such a scare. As much evidence as we've had for everything else over the years, Pastor Ben, 2022 is just like overwhelming. And then God keeps giving me stuff to just like, I'm going to show you even more. This, like, you can't get on their page because they need to understand, like, I'm not going to do anything special, you know, like the sky's not going to turn red or nothing like that. Nothing's going to be like a day just like today. So don't think that events are controlling God's plan. God is like, when it's already time, and when it comes time for me to act, I'm going to act. Doesn't matter if you're having a good day and you're sitting at the beach, you know. Okay, so here we are. So I did the 6,000-year count. 6,000-year count ended at 2017. Then God gave me the revelation that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, the word thousand was mentioned 6 times in 7 verses. So he said, see there, chapter 20, verse 1 through 7 has 6,000s mentioned in it. So I'm telling you, you're absolutely right. 6,000-year ends at 2017, and that is the 120th Jubilee. So as we went on, I had a van, and on the side of the van said exactly this, Tribulation 2010, 2017. And I drove around proudly with my van, picked people up. I used to give a Jewish guy a ride home from the metro because he couldn't see the Jesus and tribulation side on the other side. He just saw the white side, but I think one day he saw it and he was like, I can't ride with you no more. So anyway, we came to the conclusion that 2010 was going to be the rapture. Now, let me show you this, because see, this thing's supposed to have been, it was supposed to have been over with for me in 2010. Go to Psalms 110, okay? Go to Psalms 110. Psalms 110 says this. It's a psalm of David, and it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. You hear what that says? So David says, God said to my Lord Jesus Christ, sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. He puts this in Psalms 110, which is the year 2010. So I'm like, okay, this is what's going to happen. In 2010, God is going to say to Christ, come sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, that appeared to me like perfect timing, 2010, and it's saying, and it says, the Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on the day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty. From the womb of dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge nations, heaping up the dead, crushing the rulers of the earth. He will drink from a brook beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. So this whole thing is talking about Christ reigning, coming, reigning, and ruling. Now, if you look at, okay, go to Psalms 111. How does it begin? The psalm begin. Praise ye the Lord, right? So J.R. Church began to do a message like this. He says, this next, after Psalms 110, these next six verses are the tribulation, because Psalms 111 begins with praise ye the Lord. If you go to Psalms 112, it begins with praise ye the Lord. If you go to Psalms 113, it says praise ye the Lord. Now the middle of the tribulation would be 2014. And if you notice in Psalms 114, it doesn't start with praise ye the Lord, right? So the whole thing was, that's the middle of the tribulation. And that's why there's no praise ye the Lord there. So J.R. Church is saying, so after that, that year, that middle of the tribulation, when you get to Psalms 115, it doesn't say praise ye the Lord at the top, but at the bottom of the scripture, it ends with praise ye the Lord. Then 2016, at the bottom of the scripture, it ends with praise ye the Lord. And then you come to 2017, which is the middle of the Bible, and then that also ends at the bottom with praise ye the Lord. So 2010 to 2017 was supposed to be the tribulation. J.R. Church is preaching it, prophecy in the news, they're worldwide. I'm preaching it. I'm driving the van, picking up people. And we get on the freeway, and there's billboard. It says, tribulation, 2010, 2017, get ready. I was like, oh my goodness, somebody else knows. So then, of course, 2010 comes, and it goes, and I'm like, that's impossible. How could that not how could the rapture, because it was such a perfect setup, three praise ye the Lord, the middle tribulation, and three praise ye the Lord. Then you're like, what happened? And then it was like, okay, I'm done. Right in my heart, like, I'm done. That was too much. And then now, you know, people hate me. And so I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm not preaching about rapture anymore. Okay. So, we continue having church and everything like that. So then I knew that 2017 was getting close. Like a bunch of people had ideas, like 2012. They were talking about some 2012 calendar, and I was like, I'm not going with that. Yeah, and then 2013, then they had the four blood red moons and all that. And I was like, okay, I'm looking at it, but the Lord gave me 2017. So 2016, I flew to Martinique, and the Lord said, I want you to go there and teach end time prophecy and tell them about 2017. So I go to Martinique, we preach on end time prophecy for I think 4 or 5 days straight, okay? And I didn't want to do it. Like I said, I was kind of like, I don't want to be preaching this because I, you know, if nothing happens, then I'm going to go through the same thing again. So the Lord's like, no, you got to show them 2017, the 6,000 years, 1948, the fig tree generation. You got to show them everything. And I said, well, Lord, I don't even have a board to write on. So I would have to write all that stuff down. So when I got to church in Martinique, they took this big picture off the wall, and behind it was a writing board for, and they had markers for me and everything, right? So we had a great time though. Preached end time prophecy. And then all of a sudden another guy came out named Scotty Clark. And Scotty Clark was also preaching 2017 rapture. Matter of fact, he was saying Rosh Hashanah, September 23rd, 2017, rapture's gonna happen, right? And so now you have this whole thing where Scotty Clark is getting all these people excited about Rosh Hashanah, and I'm like, I don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture, but I do believe something's gonna happen in 2017, okay? Crazy thing, we go through 2017, we have red moons, black moons, eclipse, all kinds of stuff going on in 2017, nothing happens. I'm like, oh my goodness. So then now all of a sudden everyone's saying, well, from 1948 to 2018, that's the 70 years, the rapture should happen. 2018 passed, no rapture. Okay, well, maybe it's going to happen in 2019 because you would need the whole year. 2019, no rapture. Okay, so then we get to 2020. And I was already saying, like, there's got to be a worldwide judgment in 2020 because it's the 120th year. And it came. And there was a worldwide judgment. And everybody was in trouble, every nation. And I'm like, and now we're realizing, oh my goodness, it is possible that one person can control the whole world. So now people start looking back at the Bible, like maybe this is real, okay? So we have, the 120th year went by. Now look, the flood happened in the 120th year. If you write 120 in Hebrew and you take out the letter that means salvation, 120 turns into 666. So it's like saying if you take out salvation in the 120th year, the Antichrist is coming, right? So in the 120th year, we're like, okay, it's got to happen this year, okay? 2020 goes by, no rapture. Oh my goodness, okay? So now we're in 2021, and I don't know if God's going to be going by Gregorian or if he's going by the spring or if he's going by the Tishri September calendar, but he's going by one of them. So from Tishri September of 2021 to September of 2022 is the year 5782, which each number is equal to 22. And then we did the whole study to show that Deuteronomy says, in this year, God says, if only they knew it was the end, their latter end for this particular year. And so all of this starts coming. And then now the Lord's showing me, you've got to see how important this 22nd year is, 2022 is. Because look, the great thing about this whole thing is that Jesus gave us great confirmation. You know what his confirmation was? This generation shall not pass until all these things happen. And then the scriptures give us confirmation by saying a generation has been 70 years, but it will be 80 because of their stubbornness. So we know that from 1948 to 2028 and giving out that whole year to 2029, Jesus says, by the end of that time, you will see me coming in a cloud. Therefore, a tribulation has to happen somewhere in between, right? So God is like, the great thing about it is that it's not us guessing now, it's Jesus giving the word saying, listen, when you see Israel rebirth, you need to know that that is the last generation. From 1948 for 70 years, which would have been 2018, then he says, no, but it's going to be 80 years. So now it's 2028 and that whole year finishing off in 2029. So Jesus is letting you know what time you're living in. The problem is from that time to from now to 2028, there has to be a tribulation. And the church has promised that you will not be here. And now every prophecy is telling you in 2022, this is when it happens. And so if God gave me one or two hints, I could go, okay. But now God is like, I'm going to just start loading it on you now. I'm going to start giving you every reason why, so you'll know that 2022 is it. Listen, I don't care if people have other plans than they're doing. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, okay? Like, I'm Lot, okay? Go tell your sons what's happening, okay? And that this place is about to be destroyed. The fact that they laugh bothered Lot none at all. Because God, Lot's like, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, okay? Because for some people, things are only real when they happen. You know what I mean? So you can just start, you can tell someone something, but, you know, they used to tell me, hey, do, whatever you do, don't go to jail, when I was a kid. And I was like, you know, I would listen. Some other kids, they would tell them that. But then when they actually went, they went, oh my goodness. Now they really understood why people were telling them not to go to jail, you know? So some people will not be have any fear until the tribulation is actually here, okay? But I need to tell you, God is trying to tell you, it's coming, you're in the year, they have everything set up, the digital currency set up, the world war that's coming is set up, the splitting of Israel is coming up, Russia is in place, everything's set up for this time. So if you're not looking and you don't know the Bible, you just think you're just having another day because the sun's out. And God's like, you're not watching prophecy. You're not a watcher. You're asleep. And the Bible tells us to not fall asleep. Do not be asleep. What does it mean to not be asleep? Be aware of prophecy. Be aware of what's going on around you. Okay? So now, here we go. Let's go to page 2. Okay. So, okay, so Psalms 121, the numerical value of the whole first chapter is 2220, which is the ultimate voice of God. The year for 121, if starting in September, would be the year 5782, okay? So from Tishri of 2021 to Tishri of 2022, it will be the year 5782. 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 2 is 22. Now, the church is considered to be the wheat harvest because the barley harvest is left, the fruit harvest is in the tribulation. So we are considered the wheat harvest. I looked up the word wheat, or God told me, look up the word wheat in Hebrew and see what the gematria is. Hata, which is the word for wheat in Hebrew, is numerical value of 22. So the wheat harvest is in 22. Look up the word harvest. It's 400, which is the numerical value of the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Tav. And the pronunciation is Kedzar, which means harvest. So if you put wheat and harvest together, you get one word, and it says your salvation. And it says Yeshua, which means your salvation. So God is like, I'm showing you this so that you can see all of the 22s that are folding together, so that you can see and understand that everything about this year is based on it being the end and the finishing up and the revealing and the beginning of ending the last book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is about to, it's already been in existence because the seven churches had to be in existence before the book of Revelation can begin. And the church of Laodicea has to be the last church, which we are. And so now that the church of Laodicea is in existence and everything's going on and you're living in these last times, you either have to believe the Bible or you have to believe your environment and its things seemingly getting back to normal, or you're believing the Bible. So I'm going to fly looking at the sky. You know, we used to say, Pastor Ben, some pilots, they tell the pilots, like, keep your eye on the compass or the meter, and on the instrument. You don't look at the sky. You know what I mean? You got a pilot looking out at the sky, trying to figure out where he's going. There's nothing that you can look at that's going to tell you where you're going. You have to look at the instruments, and those are telling you. So I'm looking at the Bible. I'm looking at the prophecies. I'm looking at everything that's going on scripturally. And so that's what's guiding me. And that's what makes me go, oh my goodness, we're about to land. Okay. So We get all of these 22s, and then the Lord said, look up tribulation in the Bible. And then it says tribulation occurs 22 times in the Bible. Now, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, this is getting ridiculous, Lord, because everything about this year and every prophecy that you're showing me, how is wheat harvest 22? And how is salvation 22? And how is Psalms 21:2-0? And how is 5782 22? How is all this stuff pointing us in the same direction, letting us know this is the end time? Okay, now I get to that part and it says, okay, even tribulation in the Bible is mentioned 22 times. Now let's go to the next page, on page 3. Now, okay, Psalms 117 is for what year? 2017, right? Psalms 48 is for 1948, okay? Psalms 110 is for the year 2010, okay? So God wants me to look at Psalms 110, and I'm like, well, 2010 is past. So I pull up the information and it says Psalms 110 is linked to Tav. Wait a minute, Tav is the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. How is Psalms 110 linked to Tav? Psalms 110 is also linked to the consummation, meaning the consummation of a marriage. I'm just like, wait a minute, Psalms 110 has nothing to do with 22. How is that possible? So I'm starting to read, and it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies, thine enemies, thy footstool. Okay, that's Psalms 110, verse 1. Okay, now, the prophecy is linked to the end of the age in numerous ways. In the text, the scriptures we have the explicit statement from Paul in 15, verse 24, and it says this: then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down the rule of all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his foot. Okay, now that's coming from Psalms 110. So I'm like, okay, I still don't understand, Lord. And it says the truth is beautifully integrated in the structure of scripture. Psalms 110 is quoted 3 times in the Bible, once in the book of Acts, which is the 22nd book, okay, and once in the Synoptic Gospels. Further, the quote from Matthew links the chapter structure of Matthew with the Bible wheel structure, because it's found in Matthew 22, which also is linked to the fundamental spoke of 22, which is marriage and resurrection. So I'm like, okay, this is too much. I don't understand how Psalms 110 is giving me 22. So I get to this portion and it says Psalms 110 lies in the fifth cycle of the 22nd book, the cycle of Psalm, using the mod notation. The relation between the number 110 and the cycle 22 is written as 10 equals 22, 5. So the Lord goes, 22 times 5 is 110. Grace times the end times is 110. So I put the scripture that is most important to prophecy and the number that is most important to prophecy in Psalms 110. So Psalms 110 says what? Sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. Okay? But I'm like, this is talking about something that's happening in a 22 form or in the, so I'm trying to figure out, okay, I understand that 22 times 5 equals 110. So you put the scripture in 110. Yeah. So he goes, now put a gematria on Psalms 110 verse 1 and see what the numerical value is. Now, Genesis 6, 1, 6 led us to what? Psalms 117, to give us all the numbers that lead us to end time prophecy. Okay? 117 is like, it's like finding gold, okay? When you say 117, you go, oh my goodness. Then you see the numerical value of Psalms 117, and then you see how it's all linked together from Genesis when he divided the waters. So I'm like, okay. So God goes, do the numerical gematria for Psalms 110, and it's like we know that 222 is the voice of God, but 2220 is the final, the ultimate voice of God, okay? 117 is Psalms 117, which divides the Bible. The ultimate 117 is Psalms 110, the first verse. So the 117 that gave us all the clues, God had already showed it to me back in 2010. But in 2010, I wasn't looking for 22. But in Psalms 110, the scripture that says, sit here until I make your enemies your footstool, that J.R. Church was saying, that's going to start the tribulation. He's telling Jesus to sit until I finish the tribulation and make your enemies a footstool. And I'm thinking, okay, if that's the scripture, that was in 2010. He says, no, that scripture was never for 2010. That is 22 times 5. That's why it's in 122. I mean, that's why it's in 110, because it's 22 times 5. Grace times the revealing. Grace is 5. Reveal is 22. That's 110. So I put the ultimate verse to tell you about the end times in Psalms 110. And now the numerical value of Psalms 110 verse 1 is, sit here until I make your enemies your footstool, is 117. What's important about 117? Go to the next page. Let's see if it's there. Let me see. Page 4. Oh. Okay. Let's see here. Let me see here, Pastor Ben. I put it. Okay, here. Let's go back to the first page, and we're going to see 117. Watch this. Go back to the very first page where you see Pastor Sandy sitting there going 2010 to 2017. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 said, let it divide between. And he said, he divided the waters. And God says, this is the first rapture prophecy. 117 is let it divide. So 117 led us to Psalms 117. Between is 62. So that led us to Psalms 117. But we realized Psalms 117 had 62 letters. And the 62 letters that were in Psalms 117 equal to 2294. So I'm like, okay. So that scripture, so 117 is this. It's the scripture that divides the whole Bible. Do you understand that? Okay. Psalms 117 divides the chapters of the Bible. Okay. Now, there are 117 chapters in Matthew, Mark, Matthew, Luke, Mark, John, Acts, all five books that begin the New Testament have 117 chapters. That's the gospel story, right? So then you go to the book of Song of Songs. It's the 22nd book, but it has 117 verses in 8 chapters. So now there's another 117, but the whole book of Song of Songs talks about the marriage of the king and the bride. And it's eight chapters, which means this is new beginning, new life. This is Jesus. So here we are, we're sitting here, and everything about 117. Now, the flood begins when? In Genesis chapter what? 7, verse 1:1. And the flood began in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1:1. But in Hebrews chapter 11:7, it talks about Noah and the flood. You understand? So everything about 117 is telling you this all has to do with end time prophecy. Everything about this has to do with end time prophecy. Amen. It's the flood at Noah's time. What did Jesus say? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Amen. I'm going to read it because I want you to see it. Okay, I'm in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. And it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the month, on the 17th day, on the second month, on that day, the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So in chapter 7, verse 11, 7:1:1, you get the flood beginning. Now watch this in Hebrews 11, verse 7, in 1:1:7. It says, here it is. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness that comes by faith. So 117 became the ultimate number to tell you about when the end times is going to happen. When is it? When the five books of the gospel, 117. The book of Song of Songs, 117. The flood starting, 117. The flood being spoken of in Hebrew, 117. Everything, and there's more, but I don't want to go through it all, but everything is 117. So now, when God says, go back and read Psalms chapter 110, and the numerical value of it is not 117, but now what have I just done by adding a zero to the end? It's the ultimate, okay? So 117 becomes the, so the, Psalm 17, 110, verse 1, he's saying this is the ultimate. But I'm like, but 110 doesn't stand for any year that we're on. Yes, it does. Because 5 times 22 is 110. That's the only reason I put it there. Do you understand? So God is like, everything is focused on this year. So this is what he does. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Okay. Now, if 22 is about the marriage and resurrection and all of this, that means God is putting this chapter here for a reason. It's chapter 22, but it's not for no reason. Do you guys understand that? I'm calming down. God goes, I'm going to put a chapter in Matthew, and it's going to be all about the rapture. I mean, all about a marriage, and it's going to be about resurrection and marriage. But I'm going to put it in the 22nd chapter in Matthew, because this is when it's going to happen. Okay? So let's read it. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent some of his servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business, and the rest seized his servant and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. That happened in 70 AD. Then he said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but those invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. The king told the attendant, tie him hand and foot, throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many have been invited, but few are chosen. Now, I have to act like everybody hasn't been at S4C. The wedding garment is the Holy Spirit that God gives to everyone who accepts the invitation. When you get there, you're supposed to have on the clothes that he provided for you, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, if you're living a life of sin, the Holy Spirit's not staying there. For all you people that the Holy Spirit's sewn up, he's not sewn up nowhere. You're not sealed. He's not locked up. If you're sinning, God will take his Holy Spirit and say, come out of there, okay? So understand, God is saying, look, when it's time for the wedding banquet and you come, make sure you have what's necessary to be here, okay? So this is in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, which God strategically set it there. I keep telling you, God is the one who wrote the book. It's his book. He knows where the chapters are. Okay, let's go to verse 44. Wait a minute. Look at this. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You see that? Wait a minute. That's the same way that Psalms 110 starts off. Wait a minute. Let me go back and read that. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. 22, verse 44. How many 22s are there?
Two.
No, you see three. 22, verse 44.
Oh, you were right.
So this is the Trinity. So watch this. So he says, so here he's just quoting Psalms 110, which is 5 times 22, which is 110, which is the only reason it's there, is because it's a 22 chapter that is linked to the marriage, the wedding, everything is all right. So God is like, listen, I strategically wrote the Bible to let you know that this is the year. Strategically. And I strategically have shown you that this is the year. Okay? Now, how have you strategically shown me? I gave you Deuteronomy Chapter 32. Let's go there.
Ten minutes, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 32, and it is, let me get the, is it verse, yeah, here it is, verse 29. It says, if only they were wise and would understand, this and discern what their end is. In the Hebrew, it says, if only they were wise and understood that this is their latter end. That's in a verse. Now listen what God did, because God did this for us. He made Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5, the 5,708th verse of the Torah, which is for the year 1948. So all you have to do is count each verse ahead until you get to 2022. And when you get there, it says, if only they knew this was the latter end. God's like, I did this on purpose. I'm showing you plainly that this is it. You can sit around and do and think like the world and say, oh, look, somebody signed a 10-year contract. It couldn't be the end. God wouldn't let him sign a contract for 10 years if the end was coming. But God is not concerned with this world. He's concerned with his plan.
Yes.
You're just doing your plan until God blows the trumpet.
Yep.
Then your plan's done. Or if you don't want to have nothing to do with God, you can continue. You're trying to live out your 7 years during the tribulation, but things are going to change then.
Amen.
Let me see. Okay, now watch this. Go to page 4 on your. Okay, now watch this. See what 1170 stands for? You see where that red box is? 117, that's the ultimate number of prophecy, okay? It stands for the Omega. What is the Omega? The end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So 117 just happens to stand for what? The end, okay? Then 117 also stands for until I make thy enemies a footstool. That's also 117. Okay? So God made these two things, the end and making a footstool, making your enemies a footstool for your feet, Psalms 110. He makes sure that both of these, Omega is not the Alpha and Omega, it's the Aleph and the Tav. It's the end. And if it's the Tav, what is it? 22. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Tav is a 22 letter. Song of Song is the 22nd book of the Bible. Acts is the 22nd book of the Bible. The bride of Christ gets birth in the book of Acts. In the book of Song of Songs is a 22 book. The wedding happens. What's the other 22 book? The book of Revelation. It starts off by saying what? In chapter 4, I heard a trumpet blowing this, and a voice said, come up here. My thing is, I've got to show you what God is showing me. Because you can ignore it, and it happens, or you can begin to pray and say, Lord, I want to be counted worthy. I want to be counted worthy that when your trumpet blows, that I'm one of the people that you take. How do I know? How do you know that you will be one? Because you're in an active relationship with God. Okay? You're in an active relationship with God. And you're not a Pharisee running around thinking that you're all righteous and other people just ain't as good as you. You're in an active relationship with God. Because the Holy Spirit would tell you, don't be arrogant and prideful and start thinking you're better than other people. You can't think like that or else you're in danger. So all of this stuff is, I'm supposed to be getting you ready to go. One of the things to get you ready to go is, look, we don't teach once saved, always saved. But we certainly don't teach once you say be perfect or you have no hope.
Amen.
That's as dumb as preaching once saved, always saved.
Amen.
Because both of them are untrue.
Correct. Amen.
So if we don't have a God that's merciful, loving, kind, who is slowly bringing us into maturity, right?
Patience.
Yes.
Anybody been married? No, you can't live no perfect Christian life. You know, because you're going to apologize to your wife and to God. She's going to have to apologize to her husband and to God. You have kids. You're going to have to apologize to your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, something in life is not going to be smooth, cherry, perfect. Okay. Now, but check this out. God calls David a perfect man. He said he's my perfect servant. David is the perfect servant. Now look, I can name three, not one, because with Bathsheba, that was only one.
Right.
One time he did a census and he didn't even ask God. And God said, before you do a census, make sure you ask me. And so that I can prove it. And so that you take a shekel from every person.
Yeah.
And he said, he's like, I don't need God. I just do a census when I feel like it. And God's like, what punishment do you want? But each time he repented, but God said, yeah, thanks for repenting, but how do you want this belt? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because God was like, you still got to pay for this.
Yeah.
You understand? Sometimes God will forgive you and be like, okay, I'm going to set you straight. But sometimes you go through consequences because you sin.
Okay.
And so then he sinned another time. I forget what that was. But at the end, when he dies, God says he was a perfect servant. Why? He repented each time. He never sinned and said, well, God won't find out, now I won't, then you don't know and I don't know, so we just forget about it. Right? So it's like the perfect man was because in his imperfectness, he went to God on his knees and said, I'm wrong, forgive me, you know, and was forgiven for it. Okay? And that's the life we have to live. Now, the thing is, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to sin. But if I do, I have to know that I can go to God and ask for forgiveness. Because if I don't think that, then I just throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I know I talked a lot tonight. And if you don't have the notes, I know you probably didn't follow me at all. But I want you to know. Psalms 110, which me and J.R. Church, Gary Stearman, were preaching, this has got to be the beginning of the end of the tribulation. Because the next seven chapters in Psalms from 11 to 17 has praised the Lord except for the middle, which is the middle of the tribulation when the Antichrist goes into the temple. So we said that can't be. So this is perfect. This is the tribulation. And we were saying 2010 was going to be the tribulation to the point where people putting billboards up for us. Right. So but God is thinking to himself, like, they're not ready now. But I only put that in Psalms 110 because it's 22 times 5 is 110. So I put the ultimate number of prophecy, 1170, to let you know this is when the salvation is going to happen. When? Grace and 22, 5 times 22 gives you 1170. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. That's it.
Amen.
Did I go over?
No, you did perfect.
All right, good. Huh?
The rest of the pages for tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. I don't have any more. Unless
you got
it. Hey, that's a good looking shirt there, buddy.
That's a great looking shirt.
Right.
Anybody brand want new. That shirt?
Hot off the press, baby.
Yeah.
It's in our link tree. So
is that's the salt shirt?
Oh, that's for a t-shirt.
Turn around, let's take a look at it.
Is that one of your shirts?
Yeah.
Oh,
go on our link tree. It's on jesusandstuff.com. All of our.
All right. All right. Let's pray out.
the Lord reminded me I need to read this scripture. Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh
Amen.
To fulfill its lusts.
Amen.
You know what the next verse is?
No, go ahead, tell me.
Receive one who is weak in
yes.
the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that you paid the price for sin.
Yes.
You take sin seriously. So, Lord, help us to take repenting seriously, to follow you seriously. Lord, the time is short. May we be about your business. May we not reflect the ways of the world. May the truth of who you are and what you did for us reign supreme in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the ministry that's happened over the last few weeks in this church. I thank you, Lord, for the people that have been saved, the people have recommitted back to you, the discipleship that's happened. Lord, I pray that we would continue that work tonight and tomorrow and until we meet again, that we would forsake everything of this world, lay our lives down, just as you laid your life down for us. Teach us how to live, to follow you, to serve you. And we want to be known as people who pleased you, just like Noah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word. We ask that tonight it would go forth and it would produce fruit for your kingdom. Bless Pastor Sandy as he speaks to us tomorrow. Prepare his heart and his mind to minister your message, your gospel, and your kingdom to us. May we be ready to receive it. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
My son is here on a Wednesday night.